Well, this is the third of three talks which I'm giving. As those of you who have been here for the last couple of weeks will know, I've been away for 3 months on a sabbatical, and in that time I spent time at visiting growing churches. And I've been asking God what he has for us here at All Saints for the next 5 years. So we're going to be looking into the future this morning. But first, a very quick recap of the last 2 weeks. And can I just say that the talks are all on the website. So if you weren't here for the last 2 weeks, I really would urge you to go and listen to those talks so you can get fully what I actually said. But in the first week, 2 weeks ago, I talked about how we have been saved for a purpose. And it was a bit like the Israelites coming out of Egypt. And we looked at a verse in Deuteronomy. And we talked about how God called the Israelites out of slavery, but there was a purpose to it. He called them out of slavery to give them their inheritance in the promised land. Do you remember that verse in Deuteronomy 6? He brought us out to bring us in. So don't rule yourself out because of your age. Do you remember I said whether we're 18 or 80, the Lord has an inheritance for us, for you, here and now. And I quoted a statement by Mark Hatto from Emmanuel Baptist Church when he came and spoke to the church while I was away. And he said this: age is no barrier. If your heart is beating and there is blood coursing through your veins, then God can use you. And then I looked at some of the brilliant promises in the New Testament. There are so many wonderful promises which tell about the amazing future that God has for each one of us. Like this, Philippians 1 verse 6. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You know what? God begins, he finishes. He might start at A, he'll go through to Z. God is a finisher. He's not a quitter. And he intends to bring to fulfillment all the promises he has for us. The greatest days, the best days are ahead of each one of us. So that was 2 weeks ago. And then last week I began to unpack what this might mean for us here in Swanage, and particularly for All Saints, for God's people here at All Saints. What I said, I went around all these different churches, and I said it was clear from the churches that I had visited that, oddly enough, none of them had growth as a primary aim, but they were still growing. And the reason why they were growing is because of they were doing what Jesus intended them to do. And when they were doing what Jesus intended them to do, they just grew naturally. It's like a baby. You don't need to tell a baby to grow. You just feed it good things, and you look after it, and it just grows naturally. So what is it, if we're doing what Jesus intended us to do, what is that? And we looked at a couple of passages in Matthew's gospel, two particular things that Jesus told his followers to do. And the first one was to announce that the kingdom of God, that's the rule or reign of God, the kingdom of God has come. That's the first thing, announce the kingdom of God has come. And the second one was to go and make disciples. Now, he used a really important verb in those two connections. And the really important verb was go. Go. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. And as you go, proclaim this message, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, has come near. You see, we can't bring in the kingdom of God by staying in church. We can't even make new disciples by staying in church, because our target market, our field of operation, if you like, is outside the church altogether. And then last week we looked at the word that Jesus chose to use for his earliest disciples. And the word he chose was apostle. And I told you how this was a very special word in the ancient world. To be an apostle had special responsibility. First of all, it had authority. If you were an apostle, you had authority. You were commissioned for a task. And secondly, an apostle was someone who is sent. You can't be an apostle if you don't actually go anywhere. And the point is, you know, we can't expect people to come to us. The key point is that the church needs to be intentionally missional. We need to be outward looking the whole time. We need to be seeking to go. Everything we do has an outward focus. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that we don't do pastoral work or care for one another or worship. But in everything we do, we're looking outwards. So, if we want to grow the church in Swanage, the secret is to go. We grow by going. And we also saw something else, that the aim of the first century apostle was not just to go, but it was, and our aim, the first century apostle, his aim was to seek to change the culture around him. And our aim needs to be to change the culture around us. And I'm not just talking about social action, though social action is great. I'm talking about God's people getting out of our buildings, taking up the presence of God wherever we are in a dynamic and spirit-filled way. And as we go in the power of the Holy Spirit, the community will start to be transformed, change for the better. Kingdom values will begin to seep into it and lives will be changed. And actually, as a byproduct, the church, the whole church in Swanage, will grow. And then finally, we saw how this changes the whole purpose of the church. So last week, I suggested this as the purpose of the whole church in Swanage, to see the kingdom of God come in Swanage by the transformation of our community. To see the kingdom of God come in Swanage by the transformation of our community. And if that is the purpose of the whole church, what about the purpose of all saints? I suggested this as the purpose of this fellowship, All Saints. The purpose of All Saints is this: to equip God's people and all saints so that each person becomes an agent of that transformation. Say it again. To equip God's people and all saints so that each person becomes an agent of that transformation. So the church needs to be out of the buildings seeking to transform the community. And each individual fellowship needs to equip the people in that fellowship, specifically us here in All Saints, so that we can all be agents of transformation. So that's a quick run through the last 2 weeks. But some of you might be asking this question now: how do I fit in? How do I fit in? And I want to explore this morning how we all fit in. And I want to talk about five things this morning. How do I fit into worship, to finance, to teams, to branches or small groups, and to prayer? And as I start to unpack these things, again, I like to give due warning. This is not going to be a short talk. But if I go on too long, Lindy, you can be my timekeeper. And if you all start to get bored, we'll stand up and move around and take a short break. Now, if we go back to first principles, we read in the New Testament, it's absolutely clear the Holy Spirit intends us to know where we fit into the body of Christ. Ephesians 4, verse 16. We had it read to us earlier this morning. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So, we all have a part to play. And what impressed me about the growing churches I visited is that people knew how they fitted in. If they were part of that fellowship, they were able to sum up what being part of the fellowship or being part of the church meant. And the church that most impressed me was this one, St. Paul's in Weston-super-Mare. That doesn't look much, does it? But it is amazing. And it's amazing because the church there had a way of being able to sum up what it meant to be a member of that church. So everyone understood how they fitted in. And they called it the four marks of membership. And this were their four marks of membership: worship regularly, give financially, serve on a team, and be part of a branch or a small group. Actually, I spoke to the vicar, Andrew, and he said that actually, had he been doing it again, he would have added a fifth mark of membership: pray. Pray. So worship, give, serve, fellowship, and pray. Now, not everyone who went to that church could say they did all those things all the time. But if we're talking about transforming culture, this transformed the culture of the church. They talked about these marks of membership all the time. So For example, they had notices. When they had the notices, they had great video notices every week, by the way. But when the notices came to be given out, the person leading the service will get up and they would say, well, look, one of our key marks of membership is that we give financially. There are notices at the back for you to collect about church finances. Do pick one up. Or one of our marks of membership is that we serve on a team. And the welcome team tomorrow is meeting for a briefing and for some training. If you'd like to be involved in serving on the welcome team, please come along. That was the way it was done. And this changed the expectations of the people about themselves and their involvement in church. Not overnight, but people were changed. So the first suggestion I want to make to you this morning is to commend this to us at All Saints, that we have five marks of membership. Worship, give, serve on a team, be part of a branch or small group, and pray. And I want to unpack them all quickly. First of all, worship regularly. Now, I know we can't all be here each and every week, but whenever we can, we need to come here on a Sunday to worship, because this is our church family. Look, I have two children, as most of you know, and I like to spend time with them. Next weekend, I'm not going to be here. It's going to be Anne's very significant birthday, and we're going to be spending it with our two children and our two children-in-law. And we're going to be doing that because we want to be together as family. Being together is an important part of being family. You know, family doesn't mean very much if we don't take time to be together and communicate. Now, of course, I know that some people have family in other parts of the world, but actually, you go thousands of miles sometimes to see them, don't you? Because you want to be with them. Now, the primary thing we do as God's family here is to worship together. And it's not a kind of optional extra worshiping together. And I'd like to say, if you can't be here on a Sunday, and there's all sorts of reasons why you might not be able to be here every week, please at least take the trouble to listen to the sermon on the website. Remember, the task of All Saints is to equip God's people here to be agents of transformation. But you know, it's really difficult if you only get one sermon in two or three. And now, if you can access the website, even if you can't be here, you can still be equipped. You see? Now, remember that I said we need to be intentionally missional in everything that we do. We need to be looking outwards, even in our worship. Now, I know that worship is always a hot potato. And I've discovered something, you know, and that's this, that people intrinsically tend to think that whatever kind of worship they particularly like, whether it's sung evensong or high mass or contemporary band-led worship, whatever it is, people think that God prefers their own favorite sort of worship. Have you noticed that? Now, one thing I've tried to do since I've been here, especially for our 10:30 service, is to make our worship more contemporary, a bit less liturgical, a bit more informal. However, if I compare us to all the growing churches I visited, I have to say that all of them were even more informal than our 10:30 service is now, even more contemporary in musical style. And it's not because the vicar particularly likes that kind of worship, but because if you're trying to reach people, especially young people who are not in church, the worship needs to be more contemporary and more informal. Because people who come into church off the street are no longer steeped in Anglican tradition. It doesn't mean anything to them. The hymns, and I often take funerals and things like that, most people don't know hymns anymore. They just don't know them. They only know about two hymns. All things bright and beautiful, and morning is broken. I'm asked for that in nearly every non-Christian wedding I do. Okay, people just do not know hymns. So, if we're trying to reach people who don't know anything about church, it needs to be contemporary, much more contemporary than we're used to, and it needs to be informal. And you know, people often say to me, I'd love to see the people in breakfast at 9 coming through into 10:30, and it would be great if they could. And they would get a longer teaching time, they would get more equipping. But let me say this, there's no way that the Breakfast at 9 congregation, which on the whole constitutes the youngest of our three services, there's no way that they would feel comfortable in coming into the 10:30 service if we stay as we are. If we don't think about moving this service on, this service, it'll still be a great service. It'll stay at around 70 or 80, 85 on a good Sunday. If we want to see more people at our main Sunday service, if we want more outsiders, and if we want to go for a wheel to attract people who are a little bit younger as well, to actually reflect our community, then we have got to be more contemporary. We've got to be more informal. We've got to use less liturgy. Maybe got to be a bit more child-friendly. You know, when I went down to St. Paul's in Weston-super-Mare, I saw their all-age service. And you know, it re-enthused me for doing all-age worship. They had a good talk. They had a very relaxed style. The children really liked it. The adults liked it too. Actually, also, we need to use AV more than we do. All the growing churches I visited use AV more than we do, actually. And the reason is because that's the way the world communicates now. By the way, you know, the world actually does also use words as well. So we're not going to stop sermons. We're not going to dumb them down. Also, it doesn't mean to say we aren't going to sing hymns anymore. Of course, all the churches that I visited used hymns, actually. And it doesn't mean to say we don't use liturgy from time to time. The growing churches that I visited used liturgy from time to time. But they used hymns creatively. They used liturgy creatively. Now, I know that more contemporary music, less liturgy, child-friendly worship, the use of AV, I know this is not easy for some of us. But the reality is that if we want to draw people to us or to Jesus through us who otherwise wouldn't be here, we need to be more contemporary, more informal, and a bit more child-friendly, I think. So that's worship. Okay, give financially. Let me say that when it comes to money, the people of All Saints take my breath away year after year. Usually at this time, we're thinking about a gift day because we need to, as most of you know, we have an annual giving target and we put 10% on top of that to give to mission. We tithe 10% to mission. And usually at this time of the year, I'm thinking about having a gift day. Well, can I say that the total giving up to the end of October, because of one particularly generous gift, I don't know who that is, but thank you if you're here, because of a particularly generous gift, that's placed us 4.7% over target. And, we've still got to keep giving over the next 2 months to the end of the year. We need to give about £5,800 for November and also in December. But can I say that if we're talking about being intentionally missional in all we do, the people of All Saints are undoubtedly missional in their finance and their use of money. In the last 5 years, we've tithed 10% of our giving to mission, and we've blessed loads of missions in the UK and worldwide. What you won't know is how generous God's people at All Saints are on top of this. Because what I tend to do is I also tend to keep a little track of gifts which are given through All Saints but to outside good causes, charities, missions and things like that. Things like the WAVE and Tear Fund, which we maybe do a collection or maybe do an offering here. And I keep track of that because that's also really the giving of the church. Let me say, at the beginning of the year, in addition to the giving to God's work here, in addition to 10% on top for mission, God's people at All Saints have given £11,214 through the church. In other words, all that money totals, I can tell you, over £100,000 in giving away, which is extraordinary. For a small fellowship, and we're quite a small church, God's people here are amazingly faithful. I will be writing to you, everyone, telling you about next year's finances, because if God is going to do what he wants to do through us, I don't want Ian, our treasurer, worrying every month, are we going to make our giving target? But God and his people here are amazingly faithful in the matter of finance. So second mark of membership, give financially. Third mark of membership, serve on a team. Jesus says this, Mark 10, verse 45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Serving is a key mark of membership. And there are lots of teams at All Saints. because, you know, God's church doesn't run itself. There's a buildings team, there's youth team, there's a hospitality team, there's a preaching team, all sorts of things. Actually, a lot of people are giving up their time sacrificially. And the way to be in the heart of what God is doing amongst us is to serve. And I would say this, if we are going to be intentionally missional, that will sometimes mean getting out of our comfort zone. Now, you've already heard from me this morning in the notices how important it is that we have more people coming along to help Matt in Juice on Tuesday evenings. We've got 20 or 30 young people who want to come along to that event and will hear the gospel. But if we don't have enough people, enough adults, we will have to turn them away because there won't be a safe ratio between children and adults. It's really important. This is frontline stuff. Now, I know, it might seem a bit scary. Actually, there are lots of kind of unscary things you can do. Moving furniture around, generally supervising, pouring cups of hot chocolate, all that kind of stuff. Serving pizza, all those things there. But it's really important. How about offering to help Matt at Juice or Tom at Tetra and Sparks? It's an amazing way of reaching young people who otherwise would never hear the gospel. Well, some people might say, but I don't know where I fit. I don't know what I've got to offer. Well, 2 years ago, we did this. SHAPE, the SHAPE course. That SHAPE stands for spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experience. We're going to be rerunning SHAPE in the new year for those who are new or who didn't do it last time or those who'd like a review. But those of you who did do it last time, why don't you look through your notes? Look through what you felt your SHAPE was and ask the Lord where he's calling you to serve him in 2016. So next year, for those who missed it, we're going to do a rerun of SHAPE. For those who did it, why don't you review your SHAPE? And we can find where God is calling us and has fitted us. Which brings me to the coffee rota. Now look, somebody comes into church for the first time. What is one of the best ways to help them feel at home? Give them a cup of coffee. Now look, Karen is having real difficulty in getting enough people to volunteer for the coffee rota. Some people are dropping off. Some people said, well, I don't like washing up. Look, there's no need to wash up anymore. We're having cardboard cups, really nice cardboard cups. You don't need to wash them up. All you need to do is put them in the recycling bin. It's all you need to do. Please, please, please volunteer for the coffee rota. It's a great way to connect with people just coming to church for the first time. And also, coffee's good too. Okay, we'll just take a small break, and then we'll come back to the other two mocks of membership. Right, the fourth mark of membership, be part of a branch. So what's a branch? What am I talking about? Well, let's go back to our reading from John's Gospel. John 15, verse 5, Jesus says this, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, a key part of our church life is our small groups. I've always believed in small groups or home groups. They're a key part of being a healthy church. They usually meet on a weekday, usually in the evenings, though sometimes during the day, for fellowship, prayer, Bible study. But can I just say this? The reality is that the average home group, wonderful though it is fairly inward looking. And if we're going to be intentionally missional in all that we do as a church, that needs to affect our home groups as well. And when I went to St. Paul's in Weston, it opened my eyes as to what God could do through small groups. Now, there they call them by a different name. They don't call them home groups, but branches or branch communities, as in, I am the vine, you are the branches. Because the small groups are branches of the church. And that means that they encompass far more than the standard Bible study group. It does include what you might call the classic home group. There are some of those, some of the branches are classic home groups or house groups. But they also have interest groups. But but all the groups, whether they're the classic home group or there's something different, they're meeting together around a common interest, all the groups are intended to have a missional focus. So, for example, they've got a football group, a group of people who get together to play football. They've got a Costa group, group of people meet together in Costa Coffee. They've got a Zumba group, where they do Zumba, which I think is a kind of dancing, okay? So what makes them a branch? What makes this group of people different from just being a group of people who meet to play football or who like drinking coffee or happen to get together to study the Bible? What makes them a branch? And there are four key elements to being a branch. This is what they are. First of all, you have to have Christians running the branch, okay? The leadership comes from the church, and there are Christian people who are appointed to run the branch. Second, those people have to commit to pray for the non-Christians and to attend all prayer and training events. So their focus is prayerful, and they need to be really part of what's going on in church. They're not just a semi-detached football team. Thirdly, they need to commit to building an authentic Christian community in a fun and informal way. So whatever they're doing, they're seeking to build community. And fourth, they need to commit to discipling people. And there is a culture of discipling. And they have a wonderful phrase, actually, a wonderful saying about discipling. And they say, there are three things. Who are you looking up to? Who are you looking into the eyes of, and who are you pouring your life into? Who are you looking up to? Who's discipling you? Who are you looking into the eyes of? Who are you accountable to? And who are you pouring your life into? Who are you discipling? And it was a wonderful culture of discipling. Now, of course, that can happen in the classic home group, but it can include other things as well. For example, how about this? Now, this is Suzanne Dominey's art group. It meets on a Friday. It meets in the hall. So how does it fulfill those criteria? Well, it has Christians running the activity, the branch. It includes non-Christians, and Suzanne faithfully prays for the non-Christians who come. She's seeking to build an authentic Christian community in a fun and informal way. And she's discipling people, you know, in a gentle and encouraging way, but she's doing it. How about other possible branches? Well, how about coffee pots? How about fresh prospects? The point is that the branches need to be intentionally missional. Now, that doesn't mean to say that their primary activity is evangelistic. Not everyone is called to be an evangelist. But whether we're talking about a Bible study group on a Wednesday night or a football group on a Friday night, the group is looking outwards. They're praying for their friends. And they're getting involved intentionally in missional activities. Maybe, how about cooking for the Alpha course, or helping to organize a fun day, or volunteering at the food bank? Can you see? And, you know, this is very empowering. What was interesting about the branch communities in Weston was this. The vicar doesn't tell the branch leaders what to do. So there's a real low degree of control, but he wants to know how they're doing it. There's a high degree of accountability. How are they fulfilling the criteria of being a branch? So low control, but high accountability. And I anticipate if and when we move forward to this in the future, I think I'm going to be spending a lot more time in the future with the group leaders, supporting them and equipping them, and asking them how they're getting on and helping them to equip their branches. They won't be telling them exactly what to do or how to spend their time. And this business of equipping is really vital. If we are all going to be reaching outwards, we need to be equipped. And it's scary stuff. That's why we need to be equipped. That's what Paul says church leadership is for. Ephesians 4 verse 12, to equip his people for works of service so the body of Christ may be built up. Now, here's a question. How much do we really want to be equipped? I ask this because an interesting thing happened last October. Last October, we had a church day together here on a Saturday morning. My friend Lynn Chekuti from Natural Church Development came down. And following that, I asked people to contact me with requests about what teaching you needed to be better equipped. Do you know, hardly anybody contacted me about that. Those who did, we did the teaching to cover what they asked for in 2015. But I think the reason why most people didn't ask for any specific teaching is not because everyone in All Saints are experts. It's because people didn't see the need to be equipped. You see, not enough of us see it as our job to reach outside into the community with the message of the gospel. What we do is we come here on a Sunday and maybe other times we do church, and then we go outside, we do other things, other activities. And we don't see that the task of the church in Swanage is to see the kingdom of God come in Swanage by the transformation of community, and that our purpose at All Saints is to equip God's people here so that each person can be an agent of transformation. You see, whether you're 18 or 80, you're never too old to learn. I want us as a church to be committed to looking out and, stepping out of the building, which is scary. But also we need to know, and I want you to know, that we're committed to equipping each member of this fellowship to do that, to step out with confidence. So, if this scares the pants off you, and I wouldn't blame you if it did, please come to me and say, look, I need some equipping in this particular area by my church. Please could you tell me about listening skills, about how to communicate the gospel, how to come alongside, how to mentor, simple stuff, you know, obvious things. Can you help me find my way around the Bible? Can you help me come alongside people who are bereaved? Can you help me how to visit sympathetically, with hearing a lot about link visiting? How can we do those things? So, worshiping, giving, serving, being part of a branch, praying. I touched on this last time, but it's absolutely key. What did John Wesley say? God does nothing except in response to believing prayer. He spent 2 hours a day in prayer. Just in case you think this meant he was a little bit idle, during his ministry, John Wesley rode over 250,000 miles on horseback. That's a distance equivalent to 10 circuits of the globe around the equator. He preached over 40,000 sermons, and he brought thousands and thousands and thousands of people to Christ and was instrumental in the revival of the church in this country. Now, we have a great bunch of prayers in this church, but is there a culture of prayer? And I'm not sure that there is really a culture of prayer. But we pray in this church 8 times a week, at least 8 times a week. And we have wonderful prayers here, and I know who they are because I'm at most of those prayer meetings, and I know the ones who faithfully turn up at the prayer meetings week after week after week. While I was away, I saw what it would mean for a culture of prayer to be central in a church's life. Not just for the keen prayers, but for everyone, where the monthly prayer meeting is the key meeting of the month, where they hold 24 hours of prayer 3 times a year, and they fill all the slots with no problem. So here's a start. First, I'd like you to put this in your diaries now. On Sunday, the 10th of January, there will be no 10:30 service here at All Saints. So no 10:30 on Sunday the 10th of January. Why? Because it's John Wood's last Sunday and everyone's going to worship together at St. Mary's. There'll be lunch afterwards. Let's turn up, give John a really good send-off. But then in the afternoon at 4 o'clock, we're going to have tea here at All Saints. We're going to have half an hour's tea, delicious homemade cakes, then we're going to pray. And I would like every committed member of this church to be at that meeting. Because next year is a key year for the church in Swanage. For us, it's going to be a new team rector. We need to pray for that appointment. And we need to pray for the whole church in Swanage. And we need to pray for the world. So first of all, we're going to pray. Second, I'd like the committee, the team leaders, the vicar support team, the home group leaders, the branch leaders, to come together at the beginning of a new year to talk and to pray on where God may be leading us and to agree on the next steps we take and to pray again for the year ahead. And that's going to be from 9:30 to 1 o'clock on Saturday the 16th of January. And thirdly, early in the new year, I haven't got the date yet, but early in the new year, hopefully in the beginning of January, we're going to start the year with 24 hours of prayer. I'll confirm the date as soon as I've got it. We're going to open it up to Christians from the whole church in Swanage. I plan that the first one at least will be in All Saints Hall. We'll advertise it on the All Saints and the Churches Together websites. And as I said last week, I'm going to do all the unfilled slots. So prayer is going to be absolutely central to all that we do as a fellowship. Remember, from last week, the four H's of prayer. Do you remember what they are? Hunger, humility, holiness, and hopelessness in our own ability. Hunger. We need to be hungry for God. Humble. We need to know where we stand before the Lord, that he's great and powerful, and we're small. Holiness. We need to be living holy lives free from sin. Finally, hopelessness in our own ability. We can do nothing on our own, but Jesus is the King of the universe and he can do everything. As you know, I'm 60 and I'm really excited. Of course, at my advanced age, it's dangerous for me to get overexcited and I ought to be calming down and taking it easy, but obviously that's not going to happen. I've been away for 3 months. I believe the Lord has privileged me to look into the future. But because he's the same God here as in Africa and all these other places, while I was away, he gave you a glimpse of the future as well. Let me quote again what Tim Silk said to you on the 18th of October. Jesus commissions his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations. So the modern church is commissioned and called to the same work by the same Spirit as the early church. God wants his church to be as empowered and victorious as it was 2,000 years ago. Jesus wants a church that is courageously empowered to share the good news and to see lives transformed. It's this naturally supernatural church that engages with the business of miracles and healing and transformation. Whatever it is that God wants for the church to do in Swanage, whatever he wants us to challenge, whatever opposition we face, however many times we're scorned, ridiculed, or discouraged, however insurmountable the obstacles appear to be, just trust God for the outcome and thank him that the task ahead of us is never as great as the power behind us. Amen.